I'd like to read four passages in John's Gospel, the first in chapter 18. John 18, and we'll start at verse 33. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and called Jesus and said to him, "Thou art the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others said it to thee concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants had fought that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, that I am a king. I have been born for this, and for this I have come into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate says to him, "What is truth?" And having said this, he went out again to the Jews and says to them, "I find no fault whatever in him." Chapter 14. And we'll just start at verse 1 to get the context. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe on God, believe also on me. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I had told you. For I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and shall prepare you a place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And ye know where I go, and ye know the way." Thomas says to him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus says to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me." Chapter 8, and we'll start at verse 28. Jesus therefore said to them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I do always the things that are pleasing to him." As he spoke these things, many believed on him. Jesus therefore said to the Jews who believed him, "If ye abide in my word, ye are truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed and have never been under bondage to anyone. How sayest thou, ye shall become free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, everyone that practices sin is a bondman of sin. Now the bondman abides not in the house forever. The Son abides forever. If therefore the Son shall set you free, he shall be really free." And finally in chapter 16 and verse 7. "But I say the truth to you, it is profitable for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And having come, he will bring demonstration to the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness, because I go away to my Father, and ye behold me no longer. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but ye cannot bear them now. But when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself. He shall speak, and he will announce to you what is coming. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall announce it to you." This expression that Pilate uses has been much on my heart these last few days. What is truth? Don't wish to get involved in what is proceeding in the world outside, but there seems to be a misunderstanding as to what truth is. How disturbing it is when people speak of my truth. I want to speak to you tonight, dear hearers, of the truth. Because the truth is absolute. What is true, it stands. Whatever we might make of it, whatever our opinions, doesn't alter what the truth is. And a great thing in this present day is to lay hold of what is the truth. The dictionary speaks of truth as the quality or state of being true, that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. In the gospel, we speak of facts and reality. And we want to speak tonight of the only one who we can speak of as being the truth, and that is the Lord Jesus. Someone has said when Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" They said he didn't wait to hear the answer. He went out straight away to the Jews again. If he had waited, I wonder what the Lord might have revealed to him. Nicodemus was one who was seeking the truth. He came to Jesus by night because he was earnest and he was wanting to know what the truth was. Well, the Lord Jesus says here, "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Have you heard the voice of Jesus, my friend? Have you know what it is to answer to his voice? The Lord Jesus will speak to you tonight in this gospel preaching to bring conviction into your heart as to your need of him. How wonderful it is that we can speak and preach of such a wonderful person in the gospel. We do not preach ourselves. What a waste of time that is. We speak of one who has come from heaven itself. Think of who Jesus was or is. Think of who he was as coming into this world. God manifest in flesh. Beyond the human intellect to take in. But dear friend, by faith we can lay hold of these things. And what a wonderful thing it will be tonight if you take hold of these things in your hearts and in your souls and you come to trust in this wonderful, glorious person. Think of the situation that Jesus is in here. You know, I love John's gospel. John's gospel reveals to us the person of the Lord Jesus as the one who's moving and all fall before him, you know. He only allowed himself, he was only taken because he allowed himself to be taken. If you read in the previous section of the book, you hear of those that came to take Jesus in the garden and they said, "We seek Jesus." He says, "I am he." They fell away backward. They couldn't have taken Jesus unless he had yielded himself up to them. He realized that he was the one who had to go that way to be taken, to become the great sacrifice that God had required and demands. Would that there to be a way, a means of salvation be known. Jesus came, dear friend, to make God known. He is God, but he came to manifest God himself and his great heart of love towards his creature. And so we come to this section where he's been through a trial, you might say, in the Jewish court before the high priest. And then they bring Jesus to Pilate. I was struck in reading this earlier, the section where they came to the praetorium and it was early morn. And they, that is those who brought him, entered not into the praetorium that they may not be defiled because of the Passover. You think of the hypocrisy of that. Here they were delivering up an innocent, sinless man to condemn him to death. There was not even any sense of giving him a trial. They were condemning Jesus to death, and yet they didn't want to defile themselves. Such is the heart of man as away from God, a religious heart. But here, Jesus allowed himself to be taken. And think of what he says to Pilate, telling them of his kingdom. Think of what must have gone through Pilate's mind as he questioned this person before him, the blessed Son of God. What a thing it was for Pilate. What a guilt lays upon him that he delivered him up to death. Think of what he did to Jesus and allowing him to be scourged. Think of the dreadful punishments and cruelty that they bestowed upon my blessed Saviour. When it says in the scripture, he led him out to be scourged. Have you ever thought of what that would have meant that they did to Jesus? How they would have lashed his back. The heartless mind and heart of man exposed in a terrible way in these few hours before the Lord Jesus was to be crucified. And so this question might be arising in people's minds today. What is truth? We're living in a world of absolute confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. He means to confuse you. He means to deceive people. He means to bring everything tumbling down because he's out to rob you, and ultimately he's out to rob God. But ultimately he knows he is defeated. For God, in his heart of blessing, is wanting to meet you tonight. He wants to bring you into blessing. Think of these scriptures we've read in relation to the truth and in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus. You know, one thing that you can rely on is the words of Jesus. They are absolutely true, and they will last. He said, the heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall in no wise pass away. Oh, what blessed words they are. Do they bring solace to your heart tonight? Or are you troubled? Are you concerned? Are you confused? And when I read in chapter 14, because of what Jesus says here to his disciples, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. I'm thankful that Thomas asked this question. We don't know where they're going, because it brought out this wonderful revelation from the Lord himself that he is the way. The world would tonight promote many ways. Man has his religions. He has his whole world is a world where people think that they can do what they like. You can have your own way to God, but Jesus says he is the way. He didn't say, I'm going to show you a way. He says, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you a truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I'm going to show you how to find life. He says, I am the life. Think of this, the wonderful words that Jesus spoke here. Absolute certainty. I am the great I am of John's gospel. If you want to study in John's gospel, read through it and read the numbers of I ams that there are. It's the great I am. Think of who that means. The great I am, God himself. So he could say, I am the way. The way for Jesus was going to be by way of the cross. Think of him, these are a few hours before he was to be taken by men to go that way, to be crucified on that cross on Golgotha's hill outside Jerusalem. Think of what it meant for him to be contemplating these very things at this time, that he was going to be the one who was to be the sin bearer. What it was for Jesus, he who is sinless, he who in him sin was not, and yet he was to be made that very thing. He was to be hung on the cross, lifted up to die, that he might bear the curse which was due to you and me. Oh friend, the wonderful plan of God's salvation. It's beyond our hearts and minds to comprehend. And yet, as someone who has come under the sway of divine grace, it thrills my heart to be able to tell you there is a way that you can find blessing tonight, that you can find peace for your soul. How many are striving tonight? How many are striving to find the way? How many are confused? They don't know which way to go. So many voices in the world, this way or that way. There are those who say there's no God. What a foolish thing that is to say. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Those that proclaim such nonsense shall find out one day to their cost that there is a God with whom they have to do. And everyone in this room has to do with God. But you can do with him tonight as a Saviour God. One who's willing to reach out in blessing to you. And he can do so because he has provided a righteous basis whereby you can be set free from your sins and come into the joy that God has in mind for you. So he says, I am the truth. What words that is, I am the truth. That's an absolute statement. There's no other truth but the truth in relation to God himself. You know, sometimes when things happen in our lives, we feel that we've been wronged and we maybe know what really happened, and someone tells a different story, how hurt we feel. You know, there's always one who knows the truth, and that's God himself. And Jesus says, I am the truth. He knows everything. He is the truth. So you don't have to look outside of Jesus. I want to speak tonight of the glory of this person. All who look to him tonight can live as coming to him. And the life, you know, and the life. what people search for in this world. They search for what they think is life. We're reminded, weren't we, of the woman of John 4, the broken systems of this world. That's where they think they can find their joy and their happiness. How restricted people have felt this last year because they haven't been able to do the things that they find so much enjoyment in, temporary as it may be. And scripture speaks of the temporary pleasures of sin, but they all end in death. But the Lord Jesus spoke to that woman that she should find true life, living water. And I was thinking of that time when the Lord Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. No, he shall die, he shall live. What a statement that is. So we might pass through physical death, but dear friend, if we have a link with the Saviour, we come into life, which is beyond death. Jesus could say that he was the resurrection and the life because he knew he was the one that was going into death and he was going to defeat the power of death. The strong man in his armour. Satan's greatest weapon, you know, death. But the Lord Jesus has broken the power of death. He, by dying, slew. And that's a wonderful thing that he's broken that power, the greatest power known to man. The King of Terrors. How men have been petrified over this last year. We might say it's irrational in some ways, but the fear of death hangs upon everything here. And death finishes everything in relation to this life. What lies beyond? Scripture tells us after death, the judgment. Where do you stand in relation to the judgment? Because you will have to face it, my friend. God does not intend you to face the judgment. Judgment is his strange work. But God wants to bring you into life, into blessing. It can be found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. He could say, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by me. What a wonderful revelation of God that is. God is the Father, you know. Distinct to this dispensation that we live in. God, not the Almighty, but God, one God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And no one comes to God except by me. So that displaces all other religions in this world, doesn't it? There's no other way to God. You cannot reach God through any other means. Certainly not through your own efforts and your own works. Not through the law, not through your own works, but through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And the greatness of it is that Jesus bore in himself on that cross the penalty of sin which he spoke of earlier from the hand of his God. God clothing those scenes in darkness. Those 3 hours when he endured the punishment that God meted out upon sin, that your sins might be forgiven. And you can have peace with God as trusting in that finished work. Think of the end of those 3 hours, giving up his life, committing himself into the hands of his Father. And at the end of those 3 hours, having already died, the soldier coming and piercing his side. John tells us, the only gospel writer that tells us that he saw the blood and water flow from the riven side of the Saviour. And we can point to the blood and say, this made my peace with God. Have you done that, friend? Have you realised that that sacrifice was for you? How individual the gospel is, isn't it? As we claim it for ourselves, that blessed person, the Son of God, he's hung on that cross, he died and suffered that we might be set free. And he paid the ransom for all who will come and put their faith and trust in him. And it's available to everyone alive tonight in the world tonight. It's not exclusive to a certain group of people or a certain colour or a certain race. It's to whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How wonderful it is that work is sufficient for time and eternity. Because what a work it was, my friend. You know, if there was another way, God would have chosen it. There was no other way. He had to deliver up his son that there might be a basis. I was thinking this morning, you know, when God created the world, the universe, he spoke and it was done. He spoke and it happened. But when it comes to the salvation of the soul, no other way but the tremendous sacrifice of his own beloved son. The only one who could take it upon himself. The only one that could provide a way whereby the sinner might be saved. And so Jesus having died, his blood having been shed, he was buried. He was put in that tomb. Think of that. How solemn it was that Jesus lay in death. And yet it says in the Psalms, they won't need thee thy Holy One to see corruption. He was one who could be, because in him sin was not, there was no corruption there. And after 3 days he was raised by the glory of the Father. He came out in his own power. The Spirit was involved in the resurrection of Christ. It's a wonderful thing about the resurrection of Christ. All three persons of the Godhead were involved in it. And he's been raised and he's now seated in heavenly glory. We can speak of Jesus as the way and the truth and the life because we know where he is. And we have a relationship with him and he wants to bring you into this relationship. And he wants to set you free. In John chapter 8, think of that scripture there. He says, the truth shall set you free. You know, people think that if they can do whatever they want to do, that's great, that's liberty. But it's not, it's bondage. It's bondage to sin, captives to sin. These people who the Lord was speaking to, they thought, they said, we're Abraham's children. We're in bondage to no one. And yet the Lord had to show them that they were in bondage to sin. Terrible state of mankind. He thinks he has a free will to do whatever he likes, but he hasn't. He has to bear the consequences of his actions and to be a slave to sin, which is what we were. And Paul speaks to the Colossians, doesn't he? We were being translated from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Think of the state of us as before we come to Christ in the kingdom of darkness, where the power of the devil and enemy rules all. And dear friend, to be a slave to sin is terrible bondage. Slave cannot set himself free. A slave has to be set free. And you can be set free on the basis of having faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Won't you claim it for yourself? Jesus says here, there's many things in this passage which are very interesting, and I would commend the passage to you to read, because he speaks of how he was making known the Father. He says, when you will have lifted up the Son of Man, and you shall know that I am he. He spoke of his death. He spoke of the point where he's going to be raised up. It wasn't a surprise. This is what had been ordained and planned in the counsels of God before time began. This was not an afterthought of God in relation to the incoming of sin. It was all part of God's plan to show his wonderful heart and to bring in blessing to his creature. You know, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, we were noticing that at home this morning in that garden. You know, there was two trees, the tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, amongst other trees. And they were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet the devil deceived Eve by his craft, and he told her a lie. This is what the Lord goes on to say here. He says, you have the devil, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And she listened to the words of the devil. He said, you will become as God, knowing good and evil. What a terrible thing it was to happen, that they partook of that tree. And as partaken that tree, death, by one man sin entered it into the world, and by sin death, thus death has passed upon all men. So don't listen to the devil. He would say, put it off for another week. Don't listen to the preacher. You've got your life ahead of you. How long do we know that we have? We might not have very, very long left. None of us know how long we have left here on this earth. For believers, it's looking for the Lord to come again. What a moment that will be when we should go to be with the Lord in glory. But think of what that will mean for those that are left behind. They will have to face terrible time of judgment upon the earth. And those that die in their sins will have to be raised in their sins and face the judgment. God doesn't intend that for you, my friend, because this person, Jesus, who is the way, the truth and the life, the one who wants to set you free tonight, is the same one who will be the judge, sit on the great white throne. What a day that will be when all the dead shall be raised. Those that have died in the sea, think of those that have been obliterated in wars, those had their ashes scattered, all will be raised. Scripture tells us the truth of Scripture. We need to lay hold of it for the present time. All will be raised, and they will come and face the great judge who sits on that great white throne. And the greatest sin that man will be, but they didn't believe, is unbelief. God is calling you tonight to believe his word, to faith in his truth. I just want to finish with the thought of the Holy Spirit here, because it's interesting expression, the Spirit of truth. What we're speaking of tonight is truth. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has been sent down from heaven, and he's witness to what has taken place. He's witness to the fact that Jesus He's been received up in glory. And he's there. And he's come to this earth. And he came to this earth nearly 2,000 years ago, with that 120 were gathered in that room, the upper room, on the day of Pentecost, and where he came upon them. And the assembly of Christ was formed. And think of that moment when he came, and he is now and has been here in this scene, in believers, in this scene ever since. He cannot be seen. The Lord said that. The world cannot know him because they cannot see him. Apart from the fact he could be seen in believers. And that a wonderful thing too, that there is witness to the truth to be seen in believers. That's a bit of a searching statement to make when I think of myself. That's a fact, that there's a witness to the truth to be seen in believers. It says, Jesus says here at the beginning of this section that I read, it is profitable for you that I go away. I've often wondered about those words. How could it be profitable for Jesus to go away? It was profitable because he was going to send the Holy Spirit from heaven to bring demonstration to the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness because I go away to my Father, and ye behold me no longer. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Who is the ruler of this world? Satan is the ruler of this world, but he is judged. That's as sure as anything. He's going to have a reign, and he sets himself up in opposition to God, which will be fully developed, I suppose, in the man of sin, when he will set himself up and say that he is God. Think of the rebellion of man's heart against God, as dominated and moved by the power of Satan. But the ruler of this world has been already judged. His end is sure. And scripture lets us see the end of Satan, and how thankful we are to see the end of these things. And he says, I have many yet things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he has come, the Spirit of truth, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will announce to you what is coming. So how wonderful it is that the Holy Spirit is here. And as a believer, you can have the Holy Spirit indwelling your heart. Do you know what it is to have the Holy Spirit? If you feel you haven't got the gift of the Spirit, you can ask. Your work of God, if you are a believer, is sealed in your heart by the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the means and power whereby we can live as Christians. And to know that power is a wonderful blessing. It's available. Many of us feel very searched by the thought that we have the Holy Spirit with us. We often grieve him. We often don't maybe make place for him in our hearts and our lives. But it's a wonderful blessing. It's part of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he shall be with us all the way until that day we are caught up to be in heaven to be with the Lord. What an outlook and hope we have. May we lay hold of the truth tonight, the truth for ourselves. Maybe there's someone here tonight asking, what is truth? May you wait. May you find out the answer. Not be like Pilate, who didn't wait to find out the answer, but delivered up the Lord Jesus. He offered the crowd a robber, a malefactor. They chose Barabbas over the Lord of glory. As Peter says in his first preaching, the author of life ye slew. The originator of life ye slew. Think of the seriousness of the crime of mankind in crucifying the Lord of glory. You know, each of us has to answer to the death of Christ. We have to answer that question tonight, where we are, before it's too late. Because one day, if you haven't repented of your sins and asked the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour and had faith in him, you will have to answer for why you've neglected so great a salvation. God waits in grace tonight. He waits for you to turn from your wayward ways and come to a knowledge of the truth for yourself, and to know this blessed person. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.